Okay, let's have a word of prayer as we get started this evening. Father, we're just casting all our cares on you because you constantly care for us. Father, we're thankful that you're the God of all comfort, who has promised and does comfort us in all our tribulations, for the purpose that we can comfort those with the comfort whereby we have been comforted with. Thankful for this time that you've set apart for us. Study your word, to grow in grace, to share in a relationship of having fellowship with you. And as a result of that, we can have a fellowship with one another. Thankful for people who are interested in your word, your son, the focal point of Christianity, who take time to study it, to apply it, to witness, to manifest it in their lives. We're asking that you would bless us as only you can, depending upon who and what you are, not on our growth or our stability or our knowledge of the Word, just based on your person. Thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're studying the principle of multiplication and of grace. Verses 2 through 12, we have the principle of the multiplication and grace. Verses 13 through 25, the second part of this first chapter, we have the multiplication of peace. So it's divided in half. Now in the multiplication of grace, verses 2 through 12 so far, in verse 2, we've seen grace multiplied in the work of the Trinity. In verse 3, we studied grace multiplied in the termini of God's plan. And last time, we studied in verses 4 and 5, grace multiplied in divine inheritance. We have an inheritance. Tonight, we start off with a subject that most Christians know very little about. It's called suffering. So, verse 6, we have grace multiplied in suffering. Verse 7, we have grace multiplied in claiming the promises of God. Verse 8, we have grace multiplied in category one love, which is occupation with the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 9 and 10, we have grace multiplied in God's total plan for you. Verse 11 and 12, we have grace multiplied in the canon of Scriptures, or the Bible, or the Word of God. We'll take it up time to time, these verses, and give you the emphasis. But tonight we start in verse 6, grace multiplied in suffering. When I first became a Christian, one of the problems that no one could answer is the question, why do Christians suffer? 9 out of 10 people who are in Christianity cannot explain why Christians suffer. And if you have a tragedy in your life, whether it's a loved one or yourself, and you're suffering some particular ailment or problem or adversity, you have to have this information. Most people will tell you, I'll pray for you. That doesn't help your situation. Some people will say, well, everything will be all right, but everything isn't all right. I've searched every church possible. I could list you so many churches and denominations where I went and asked for this answer to a serious problem I had, but never had it. Anyway, tonight we start in grace multiplied in suffering. Verse 6 starts off with, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Boy, that's the title for the plan of God. Right there, those words. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now, in this particular passage, we're talking about the worst time in your life. Now, just think logically. Christianity is logical. It's common sense. If you can rejoice in the worst time in your life, what about the other times? See? In other words, when Jesus Christ came down, he came all the way down. He died for you, for I, and he took care of the worst times in your life. And I'll tell you this before we start this verse, you can have a ball. That's what this verse will say. You can celebrate in the worst thing that ever happened to you. It's been provided for you. Wherein you greatly rejoice. We'll go slow if it's possible to go slow. Wherein is a relative pronoun, which means E-N, which you know, and H-O. That's the translation you have wherein. But it's actually in which. Ho is which. In is in. Now this refers to any time in the church age we're talking about. When there would be any time of adversity or apostasy or difficulty. It says, wherein you greatly rejoice. Now the word rejoice is really a word that almost spells it out. You have to really rejoice to almost say it. Agaleo. Agaleo. See, it's almost a sounding, onomatopoetic word, which means it sounds just like what it's saying, rejoicing. And this word, rejoice, means to celebrate. Agaleo means to celebrate. It means to have a party. Now, it was used in the late Attic Greek. And they used this word because they found out that there were two kinds of drinking in the world. And they're not any different than today. The first type of drinking they found out was drinking to drown out your sorrows. In other words, if you have any sorrows, then you drink. And that's a form of sublimation. Okay? Most people do that. And then there is a drinking that they did in Attic Greek, which was to celebrate. This is what they called a libation. Or drinking, in other words, when you're very happy, you're very relaxed, and everything is right and perfect. And now that's the way this word is used. Not this way. But when everything is joyful, it's like an occasion, a celebration. You know, you may toast someone like that. That type of thing rather than sorrow. So this word means to celebrate, this agaleo, in the sense of having a party or having a good time or doing something that you want to by way of celebration. When everything is right. See, that's the background for this word. Not this one, when there's sorrow or difficulty, but this is a celebration when you just had a victory, see? A rejoicing thing. Now, the reason for this etymology, for this verb, is this. Because in this particular verse, everything is wrong and not right. So you can see where I'm heading. Everything is like this, but you're not going to do this, you're going to do this. Because God has provided that for you. See, we're going to have suffering at the end of this verse. But the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God is designed to celebrate. To celebrate a victory at a time when everything is difficult. See, that's where we're coming to in this verse. So, the word wherein, or literally in which, refers to all the word, pardon me, the divine viewpoint of life, the principles in the Word of God, the promises in the Word of God, the multiplication of God's grace, and that which we have had up to this verse. Now, see if I can get it across. In verses 1 through 5, we have had the multiplication of God's grace. And we just referred to it as the Trinity was a part of that. That means character, God's character. Then the total plan in eternity future from eternity past, we have that. And then we had born again and an inheritance. See, that's your background. Now, because of that, now verse 6, you have suffering. You see the way this is lined up? In other words, if you have this information inside of your soul, then when this hits, you can celebrate. There you go. That's how simple it is, even in the structure of this passage. So this relative pronoun, which we started off with, in which, acts like a vacuum cleaner. In which refers to these first five verses, which pick up verses 1 through 5. After 1 through 5, he says, in which goes back to this, you draw it in and says, this is the basis for the celebration here. The fact of the Trinity, the fact of God's complete plan, the fact of you're saved, the fact you have an inheritance, see? That's information that gives you the basis for celebration. So in other words, verses 1 through 5 is the basis for celebration no matter what happens. It just so happens in verse 6, it's suffering. So the Word of God pulled in then becomes inner resources, IRS. You know, we'll all be thinking about that pretty soon, coming up. So I just thought I'd show you that we have inner resources. And when you have inner resources, verses 1 through 5, then in the day of suffering, verse 6, or adversity, you're prepared and you can celebrate. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and get drunk. I hope you understand that's an illustration. That's the way that was used, to celebrate a victory. Anytime you suffer, anytime that you are in adversity, the word that you have taken in, the word that you have studied, the word that you have absorbed on a daily basis is a basis for celebration, verse 6. Now, if a person is negative to the word of God, you see, then when you come to verse 6, you don't have verses 1 through 5 in your soul, and so you do not have any inner resources. See? But, and inevitably, any person who doesn't have inner resources has to do something when suffering comes, see? And what happens? They go on their emotions, or they have some over-sublimation, like here, see? Neither your emotions nor your overt sublimations will carry you through a pressure. Instead of having one problem, you now have two or three or four. These are crutches. Emotions and sublimations are crutches, like woe to them who go down to Egypt for help. That's a crutch. The emotions and the sublimations are crutches, and they're not designed to hold you up during pressure situations, because your emotions are just an appreciator of the soul. They're not crutches. So a believer who is negative to the Word of God, that believer will conduct himself under pressure and under suffering just as would an unbeliever. See? In other words, he hasn't availed himself daily of the resources necessary, so when verse 6 hits him, he's got nothing to apply. So you store up the word, not only for maturity and stability, but you store it up for a day of disaster. Well, very interesting. One time when I was going to school in Florida, I got a part-time job working for a building inspector in Florida. And Florida is a lot different than Texas, because I can't draw, so you'll just have to bear with me. This is like a joist going around the roof. And they had these cross beams on the roof. And one of the building codes was that you never pass a roof by examination unless they had hurricane straps. See? Which were very important because there's so many hurricanes in Florida. So they had other things too. But the builder had to have these hurricane straps in. And he didn't want to put them in because it was an added expense. But if I didn't come by and red tag him, you see, then that person would buy a house and the first hurricane come, there goes the roof. We don't have hurricane straps in Houston. We should have them. What am I saying? What am I saying is this. You put up a building, you see, and you prepare for a hurricane. The hurricane straps in my illustration is verses 1 through 5. It's the Word of God stored up, and when the hurricane comes, you don't blow your roof. You see? In other words, what's happened is we have prepared ourselves for a day of tragedy, for a day of heartache or disaster. Now, most people don't think, for example, of dying as a party in which you can celebrate. See, that's an extreme adversity. Well, the Word of God will cause you to celebrate. Why? Because what do you learn from the Word? For me to live is Christ, to die is a gain. See, that's a celebration. That's a victory. That's a homegoing. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. That's a celebration. You see, the Word gives you that celebration. The Word, the divine viewpoint, is the principle here. So the daily intake of the Word of God gives you inner resources in time of disaster, in time of suffering, in time of difficulty. Now, the whole realm of doctrine is not covered in verses 1 through 5. But the principles of the Word are covered. And these principles are those in which we are able to develop and have this wonderful celebration in a time of difficulty. Now, this word for celebration is a present tense, which is continuous, which means when you hit a period of suffering, you have the inner resources. That's present tense. Middle voice is volitional middle. Sometimes the middle voice is reflexive, and that's where the subject acts upon itself. Sometimes the middle voice says you're benefited by whatever you're doing, the subject benefits himself. But in this particular case, this middle voice is slightly different with this particular verb, and this middle voice indicates a series of decisions that have prepared you for adverse situations. In other words, we'll say this is your life on this earth. And these are middle voice decisions that prepare you, see? Not just one shot. Present tense, see? Continuous middle voice. And this middle voice indicates a series of decisions that have prepared you for adverse situations. Now, a series of decisions are obvious when you have the present tense because it's continuous. Constant exposure. Take this expression which we started with, in which is a relative pronoun. Indicates the principle of the intake of the Word of God, and then you have the middle voice with the present tense indicates that the believer who is constantly making decisions for the Word to take it in, is going to have inner resources in time of disaster, difficulty, heartache, problems, loss of a loved one, so on. See? God has provided for that. Now in verse 6 we have two adverbs. I'm only being a little technical on this verse because I want you to see something that you don't see right away in the English language. Now we have two adverbs. Now this is one of the strangest structures in the Greek language. Peter, I want you to know, is the human author here. And Peter is always coming up with something that's very beautiful in the Greek language. It isn't good English. And sometimes it isn't even good Greek, but it's comprehensive Greek. So he starts off and he says, wherein, which is in, ho. It's a relative pronoun. In is the preposition of sphere. And literally this should be in the sphere of which. And that's really better than in which, because ho is a locative of sphere, or the relative pronoun. So, in ho is in the sphere of which. In other words, this is the sphere of celebration. And the word celebration is not the word for happiness. Kairos is the word for happiness. This is not the word for happiness. This is an expression of happiness. Agaleo. And now we have something coming up by the meeting of two things. Inside of you, you have the Word of God that's been taken in. Our illustration is verses 1 through 5. See? Constant intake in the sphere of which, see? And then the suffering comes from outside. That's his arrow coming in this way, see? Now you have the meeting of two things. The penetration of suffering into your life, meeting the Word of God, you see, results in celebration. Here's the combination. You take this suffering, plus your inner resources, and that's the victory, and that's the celebration. That is a monopoly of Christianity. No one else can do it. These principles about psychiatry and sociology, and all these other things, Dale Carnegie technique, will never produce this. See, it's a divine monopoly. This is the fact where it says, count it all joy. This is a fact of, you know, think it not strange of the fiery darts that try you. See, that's the combination that I'm talking about. Notice how beautifully verses 1 through 5 has showed us the multiplication of grace, which you now have inside of you, and then when verse 6 hits, you have a celebration. It has no counterpart in life anywhere. This is something Satan himself cannot produce. This drives him bananas. And the words here may be a little bit obscure in the English language. Now, the next two words say, though now. Now, that's a good translation, but I want to break it down a little closer for you to show you what the Christian life is really about. Those two words, though now, is talking about the Christian way of life. Now, this is actually two adverbs. And when you have a structure like this, which we have followed, and then have two adverbs, then you have the reality of the situation. In other words, what I'm saying right now is, these two adverbs in the Greek language say, this celebration is a reality. It's almost like an indicative mood, which means this is true. So the two adverbs will introduce this arrow that I've drawn here of suffering. And the first of the two adverbs, so you have though now, the first one is oligon. And it means little. A little. An adverb that means a little, so here is an adverb of time. So it means a little time. And the first adverb is designed to show you whatever you do in this life, you don't have much time. Time is a drop in a bucket compared to eternity, see? If you live to be 150, you still don't have much time. That's why the scripture says, redeem the time. So the idea that you can celebrate under conditions of great adversity is something that belongs to a little time, a short time here on this earth. Why is that important? Well, it's because it's something you can't experience in eternity. The thing that we're discussing in verse 6 can never be handled in eternity. Time is the only time which you suffer. Pardon me. There is no suffering in eternity. There's no sorrow. There's no tears. There's no pain. God can only provide a celebration for you in suffering in time. You can't experience this type of celebration eternity, because there you have perfect happiness. So the whole thrust of verse 6 and the whole thrust of this chapter is to the effect that God says this. Look, he says, believer, I'm leaving you in this world. The devil himself is full of do-goodism. That do-goodism ought to make you sick. There is something that the devil and no one else can ever counterfeit or reproduce. And there's something that I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you inner resources, provided you want them. See, God's a gentleman. You have to want them. See, that's your positive attitude. If you want my word on a daily basis, I will give you inner resources so that you, from your own free will, can choose to take from me my very soul. You see, the word of God, the divine viewpoint, the mind of Christ is the soul of God. You can call upon these things, he's saying, from my soul, from my mind, and I will give them to you. And then they will be in your soul as a divine norm or standard. And in time of disaster, see, you don't have to look heavenward and say, oh God, help. All you do is go into your own closet, your own soul, where those things are deposited, and pull one out. And as you use those deposits, you're having a party. You're celebrating. You see, what do you have in the pantry? You pull it right out. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, there are two approaches in life. I don't know if you ever heard anything about the blues or not. I know Glenn knows something about the blues. I don't mean the attitude, I mean the song. Both. Okay. Okay, that was like an intrusion. But when you face the blues, you can take something from the outside and put it in, which may be thought of as a temporary solution. But you have repercussions down the line that are very bad. Alcohol, drugs, whatever, name it, even food. Or you can have and tap your inner resources. See? That's the whole point. So you got a choice to make whenever you got the blues. We have inner resources. We have the capacity for life. We have capacity for love. I want to tell you something. Christians have the greatest capacity for fun of anybody in the world. If you're not having fun as a Christian, something's wrong with you. Once these resources are in the inside, then these outside things will never satisfy you. Unless, when suffering hits, you meet that with a celebration. You see, that's the whole point. Then, when there is no suffering, we have the capacity for whatever we have in life. We have capacity to enjoy life. And we can enjoy things in life. And it isn't like we're missing anything. It's that we have the capacity to do it. Now, the arrow going in is suffering. And the arrow going out are the fun times. So whether it's the arrow going in or the fun times, we have only a short time here, oligon, and the word is what makes the difference how you spend that short time here. So the first of the two adverbs is a reminder that whatever we have in time is going to be short. And the capacity to enjoy life is going to come out of the Word of God. That's it. Now the next adverb will shock you. The next adverb is the word arti. A-R-T-I. That's where you have though now. It's not though now, it's a little time. And then RT is this present moment. Now those are the two adverbs. So you see, here we are. We're only here for a little time, a short time. And RT is just one of those moments in time. Now look how fine this Greek language breaks it down. And the moment here, of course, in context, in verse 6, is suffering. That's the subject. It could be prosperity or happiness, but the subject of verse 6 is suffering. So life is made up of moments. The Christian way of life is moment by moment. That's Archie. We're here for a short time, that's true. But there are moments in time of which it's made up. You know what? The Bible says that you only live one day at a time, which means forget those things which are behind and give no thought for tomorrow. You've got now, and that's it. And you see a day is divided into 24 hours, and in that 24 hours you have moments, moments, moments. Well, the concept here that Peter is getting into, he's anticipating 1 Peter chapter 3. Every moment of your life is designed by God to be a moment of celebration or a moment of regret. And Peter's going to develop this. He's going to say that the regret moments are mental attitude sins, and the celebration moments are agape love, which is a relaxed mental attitude. And it's going to come up under the word agape in our passage. Take a look at verse 8 to see where we're going. This section is so great, you almost don't want to finish it. You want to almost go slower if possible. Verse 8, see, is the key. Whom having not seen, you love. You see that verse? Boy, that is a verse. Whom having not seen, you love. This is not category one love from the standpoint of capacity. This is category one love from the standpoint of mental attitude love. So Peter is going to establish a tremendous principle. The moments we regret will always be related to our very own souls. And that is the kind of suffering that we're going to have in verse 6. And the moments that we do not regret, the moments where we have capacity to love God, we have capacity for life, are going to be free from mental attitude sins. In other words, you have in your soul the resources to make yourself miserable, or you have the resources to make yourself happy. Resources for happiness, the mind of Christ. The resources for misery, your own mind, mental attitude sins. See, it's either the mind of Christ or your mind. If it's your mind, then it's mental attitude sins. Now, this is where you become adult. People want to know when they're growing up in the Lord. Here's one of the clues right here. See, your happiness doesn't depend upon circumstances. That's what it's saying. That's what these moments mean. Your happiness doesn't depend upon things around you, like details. Your happiness depends upon what you're using inside of your soul. You're either drawing upon the resources of the Word, or you're drawing upon the resources of your own mental attitude sins. Now get this next point. This will knock out all the psychologists and sociologists in the world. Why? Mental attitude sins is the old sin nature's adjustment to life. Now watch what I'm telling you. Here you are. Here comes some problem in your life. If your old sin nature is in operation, you're going to become miserable. If the Word of God is operating, then you're going to have inner resource and you're going to have a celebration. All right? Now watch. Mental attitude sins are from the old sin nature, which adjusts the person to life. In other words, something happens in your life, you get angry. See, that adjusts. Something happens in your life, you become bitter to that person or thing. You adjust to life. Something happens in your life, you become vindictive, jealous, cruel, hatred. See, that's the way people adjust in life. Why that dirty song, though? I'm going to, you know, that's adjustment to life. That's how they blow off their steam. That's how they handle a pressure situation. And they retaliate. And therefore, they miss the boat. Inevitably, if you're a mature adult, humanly speaking, and if you're moving toward maturity spiritually, you take responsibilities for your own misery or your own happiness. Susie didn't make you do it, or Charlie didn't. You did it. And you have that power to do that. And that's been true since the day we accepted Christ as our Savior. Because since the day we have been born again, we make our own happiness, our own misery, because the issue is very clear. The Word is your happiness. The Word gives you capacity for life. The Word is the beginning of maturity. Everything that is important in life is based upon the Word of God. And if it isn't the Word of God you're using, then you're going to go to human resources. And no one goes on human resources without mental attitude sins. Sublimation comes from mental attitude sins. So your jealousy, your bitterness, your vindictiveness, what do? You get drunk and react. Or you do something that you ordinarily wouldn't do. Now there's an illustration that may help you get this point down. Everybody thinks that a butterfly is beautiful. Most people will agree. Most people anyway. But there's always one kind of a person who catches a butterfly, and don't shock yourself, pulls the wings off of it. You know there are people like that. This is the same principle we're talking about here. Everyone goes through life pulling off wings off of the butterfly. And it's a large population that does it. Because different people have different victims. And that will make you miserable. But on the other hand, there are the resources from the Word of God. And the resources of the Word of God give you perfect happiness, causes you to celebrate. And not just perfect happiness, but in the midst of any difficulty of life, celebration. I think there's a song going on now, celebration, some popular song. So let's see what happens after these two adverbs. There's one adverb that means that we're here for a short time. The second adverb says, let's take a moment at a time, just a moment of that particular short time. So the first adverb says, look, however long you're here as a believer, it's not too long. It's a short time. And then you're going to depart. And that short time is made up of moments, periods of an hour or two, maybe a day, but nothing over a day, one day at a time. So these two adverbs narrow your life down to a point, a moment, which we call pinpointing. And it takes two adverbs in the Greek to do so. You see what I'm talking about? These two things here, God is showing you that He's concerned with a moment of your time. Every moment of your time. And He's prepared for those moments. Did God take care of this day? He takes care of the moments in that day. And then look what happens. Then we have a first-class condition coming up, followed by need be. Verse 6 says, if need be. Now this is again where the Greek comes in. We have a present active participle of the word deo, D-E-O. It's a verb of necessity. Actually, it doesn't have a good translation here. I should suggest we should say, if necessary. But the if is E-I, which is a first-class condition, and the first-class condition says it's true. So we have a present active participle of the word deo. It's a verb for necessity, and it is if necessity. And so it's a first-class condition if in the Greek, plus the present active participle of deo, and it comes to be if necessary, and it is necessary. That's the way that reads. Not if need be, but it is necessary. In other words, a certain amount of suffering, get me, is necessary during the Alagon, the short time, we're here as believers, the Word says. It's necessary for us to have suffering. One of the manifestations of God's love is faithfulness to you in every circumstance of life. Provisions for you in all points of life. Now your whole Christian life is Alagon, short time, first adverb. Now, your Christian way of life is narrowed down to specific points, aren't you? Now, in those points of time of your Christian life, it's necessary to have a varying type of experiences. You see, if love, for example, was just always sweetness and light, if love was always a certain type of thing, people would get the wrong idea of love. There'd be no capacity for love. Most ladies have the idea that if they make a bad impression, or if they're caught with their hair up, or curlers, or without makeup, or whatever she thinks is unattractive when she looks in the mirror, that somehow this man won't love her. You see? He won't love her anymore if he sees her in this condition. So she must always have her best foot forward in order for him to love her. Now, how in the world can anybody in the human race always have their best foot forward? It's impossible. That's not normal. So love, like God's love to us, love is going to find a person in various stages. And God provides in celebration stages, the prosperity stages, and the suffering stages, celebration. In other words, you don't have to put your hair up for God to love you, or take off your chenille robe, or cold cream off your face, or whatever it is. You use His resources, and you're free to do so, or not to do so. And you respond to God's love because God loves you. And when you respond with positive volition, your positive volition doesn't wait for a period of suffering. Your positive volition to God is daily by the intake of the Word. And then as you have taken in the Word and taken in the Word, when you're hit with a period of suffering, then it's time for celebration. But if you're negative to God's love, you have not responded to it, then you have nothing to celebrate, and inevitably you're going to go back on human resources. And human resources, as Peter will emphasize, are mental attitude sins. People compensate in their souls by the use of mental attitude sins. That's adjustment to life. So verse 6 says, if necessary, and it is, ye are in heaviness. Now there's our verb. Aorist, passive, participle. Lupeo, L-U-P-E-O. Aorist tense, point of time, passive voice, participle. Aorist, passive, participle. Means to be in suffering. This word lupio means suffering, pain, distress. The aorist tense matches the second adverb, RT. RT is that moment that's involving time, and aorist tense is a point in time, so they match in this Greek etymology here. The aorist tense matches the second adverb, moments in time. You're not going to be in heaviness here, but you're going to be in suffering, literally. And there will be times when you will be in suffering. Passive voice means the believer receives this suffering. It's a voice of grace suffering as a basis for blessing. But only under conditions when inner resources are available. Inner resources means the capacity to love the Lord on the basis of His Word. The participle is a circumstantial participle. It's not an ordinary aorist participle, but it's circumstantial. And a circumstantial participle merely points to a point in time, in your life, when there will be suffering, suffering, suffering. And you can draw upon divine resources only if they are available. Otherwise, you will inevitably draw upon human resources. And get the principle here, because it's coming up in the third chapter. When you habitually, in time of pressure, draw upon human resources, you compound your suffering. See? Here it is. You have the Word of God in here, which is your inner resources. If you don't have the Word of God in there, which causes you to celebrate, then you have your old sin nature operating with mental attitude sins. So now suffering comes, and you hit it with mental attitude sins, and you've compounded it. It's like chain suffering. Now the suffering, which is designed by God under the grace principle for blessing, by your own volition, you turn it into cursing-type suffering. And God turns cursing into blessing, and you turn blessing into cursing by using human resources in a time of pressure. You compound it. And you have made a decision, a series of decisions, and that was not to take in the Word of God. And after having made decision after decision, when the suffering comes, you use human resources because you have no divine resources. And when you use human resources, it means you're going to compound the suffering. And you're going to intensify it. And you turn blessing into cursing. It was designed for blessing. You turn it into cursing. God turns suffering into blessing. That's all that God can do because it's compatible with His character. Man turns blessing into cursing, and that's compatible with man's character. So you either turn it into cursing or blessing. It's a matter of compatibility with your own character or with His character. So every time you get into a suffering situation, you can go on human resources and compound the problem, or you can go on divine viewpoint, and you have a choice. But the point is, there is no divine resources unless you have the Word. God has designed His plan so that you can have a daily love affair with the Lord. And you can respond to His Word. You can take in His Word. So this becomes your inner resources. And therefore, your blessing in time of suffering. And people who do not take in the Word are always running around to someone to make the suffering stop hurting, and it just can't be done. There is no substitute for the daily intake of the Word of God. That's why He said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, there are a few things along the way to keep you from cracking up, like putting your faith in the promises of God. That'll keep you. You don't fail to claim the Word. You can latch on to a verse, for example, and that'll stave off the situation until you can get into a position where you can build up some inner resources. See, God's resources are available. And God is a gentleman. And they are available daily. This means that some are going to have a good time and some are not. There's no middle ground when it comes to this. You've either accumulated the Word of God up to this point or you haven't. If you have, then you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is category one love. And you have something to celebrate. And that's the thrust of this passage. How is grace going to multiply? See the whole principle that we had, grace be multiplied unto you. Now, how is grace possibly going to be multiplied? Grace is multiplied from the inside. Multiplication is like having money in the bank. And there's a percentage of interest, as it were. So you have it in there. And the multiplication comes when suffering hits it in a point of time, then it multiplies. And the interest of the Word of God is not simply happiness. Happiness is something that you get apart from this. Happiness is what Paul was talking about in Philippians. But Peter is talking about the inner resources and not having joy, but this word is celebration. Joy is something that is doctrinal. It's a part of the whole doctrinal structure. But celebration is the result of inner resources on the inside. At the point of time when suffering hits, instead of going to human resources and compound your suffering, you come up with celebration. Agalion. Verse 6, you are in heaviness. Circumstantial aries, participle. Through manifold temptations. Again, we have the word and. This is the second time we've had the word and, which is the locative case. We had it with a relative pronoun in the sphere of which. And now we have it in both cases, it's and plus the locative. And the second time in this sentence, see, Peter is getting ready to give us a fantastic principle. The peak of this principle will come up in verse 8 when he says, whom having not seen you love. See, we're building up to it. And there's no such thing from that verse as falling in love and love at first sight. That's attraction. That's not love. Love is something that develops. Capacity for love develops. Verse 6, he says, you're in heaviness. You're in great pressure. In the sphere of, now we have you in pressure, but you're also in the which times. At the same time, you see two ends here. The first one, this person has the word. The second one, now this person has suffering. This person with the word and pressure celebrates in the period of suffering. See, that goes back to the first class condition. And it's true, which recognizes the reality of suffering occurring simultaneously with the celebration. The word manifest means diverse. The word temptation means calamities or diverse adversities. See, if you get one kind of suffering, you get used to it. Each suffering here is a different type. See, that's the word manifold temptations. Aorist participle, circumstantial point of time in the short time of your life. It doesn't go on all the time. People get the impression that the Christian way of life is nothing but suffering, and that isn't true. But it can be if you make your own misery. If you're negative to the word, it's possible. Let's get a corrected translation this far. It says, in the sphere of which, in the sphere of the word, you keep on celebrating, although for a little while, at the present time, the two adverbs, if, and it's necessary, first class condition, you receive suffering, that's the way you translate a circumstantial participle, in the sphere of diverse adversities. That's a good point. Suffering and celebration. Now, how is this going to be multiplied under grace? Well, verse 7. That the testing of your faith. That introduces a purpose clause. The word testing is a word trial. And trial doesn't mean anything if you have the inner resources. That the testing refers to that by which anything is tested and means testing for the purpose of blessing. It's a word used for when they tried to look at gold to find out whether it was valuable or not, and they were looking at it for the purpose of testing it for blessing. When people would assay gold, well, when they did that, they were looking for it as to be valuable. So this is the same word. It's a Greek noun that has a purpose tied to it. And it means testing for the purpose of blessing. The purpose of testing under suffering is what? Blessing. I just said it. It's like gold. Of your faith. Now, this is a genitive singular of the word pistis, which means faith. Same word is used for faith and taking in the word. Being. The word being is not in the original language. That's a testing of your faith much more precious. Now, much more precious appears to refer to the faith. This is the way some of these bad appliers of the word. But it doesn't refer to the word faith. It doesn't refer to the word testing. The testing for the purpose of blessing is much more precious or of greater value, highly prized or most desired or most valuable. There's no verb here. So with no verb, with the elimination of the verb, we actually have much more precious. It's a comparative adjective going back to the noun testing. So it's the testing that is of greater value, not the faith. Testing is a subject. Much more precious is taken from several Greek words. Polu, time, teron. Polos means much more. Time means highly valuable or most prized. Teron is a comparative form, a comparative suffix, so the translation is of greater value. Suffering is of greater value. There's no verb here, but I'm simply stating the principle. Under the conditions of verse 6, you have the resources of the Word of God in your soul, when suffering is of greater value than gold. C-H-R-U-S-I-O-N for gold. Gold was generally associated with details of life which are related to fun and happiness. Like gold means happiness. Like money means happiness. So faith here, pistis, is the inhale, is the vacuum cleaner that sucks in the Word of God. So that you have any resources in a time of calamity or disaster. And it's of greater value than gold that perisheth. The word perisheth is a word that means to be destroyed or lose it, completely removed from you. Either by its destruction or you lose gold in other ways. But you can't lose the inner resources of the word. Gold perishes, but the word doesn't. That's the contrary here. Which is of greater value? You know, every night you watch how much gold is on the market. And they got everybody geared to thinking about the price of gold. The price of gold. And they're buying gold and they're selling gold. They're just about going ape. It went up, went down, went up, went down. All right? Now get this. We're in a perfect time in the 20th century for when you watch the news the next time. When you look at that, you think to yourself, which is of greater value to you? The inner resources of the word or money? The inner resources of the word or the outer resources? Suppose you had a choice right now of a million increments of the Word of God or a million increments of money, some type. Which would you choose? Now, be honest. The Lord is omniscient, you know. Don't be honest out loud, though. See, this is the privacy of the believer. See, that's the issue here. The Bible clarifies the point. A million increments of the Word are of greater value than all the gold in the world. Gold comes and goes. Are you sure? Yeah, just open up Four Knocks. You'll find out it's empty. You can have money, but you won't have it long. Gold is here and gone tomorrow. The Word is permanent. You'll always have the Word, and here's the point. When you spend the Word, you still have the Word. Multiplication of grace. Here is something you can spend and keep. It's like having your cake and eat it too. There's no way you can throw away the Word. See, you can neglect it, but the Word stays. And when you spend it in time of suffering, when you spend it as capacity for life, in time of prosperity, you have the Word. When you spend gold, it's gone. And that's what perishes means here. So the resources of the Word are infinitely of more value than gold or any detail there ever was, though it be tried by fire. Though it be tested, because it's the genitive, and this is what the word is, not the faith. Though it, the word, be tested by fire. Tested by fire means a test for the purpose of blessing again. Present tense, it always works that way. When you use the word, it's always that way. Passive voice, you receive the word, you receive the testing, and the word and the testing meet. There is the point of celebration, two passive voices. You receive the word, passive voice, you receive the pressure, and those two meet, and there's where your celebration is. And that's where you have the party. The Lord provides some very unusual parties for you in time. That's the way it'll always be in eternity. But in time, God has a privilege of demonstrating His love to you under most adverse circumstances. And He's anxious to do it now because He can't do it later on. His faithfulness, His immutability. God is perfect. His love is perfect. He's found a way to love you. He's found a way to demonstrate His love, but it must be freely given. If it isn't freely given, it isn't worth having. And it must be on the basis of your volition. And if you give your love to God daily, when you take in the Word of God, we as believers are an analogy to the right woman. And the woman takes in the Word, and the man gives. And God gives the Word, and we as believers take in the Word. And as we take it in daily, then we have something phenomenal. The illustration of the right man, right woman. In other words, the right man and right woman don't make love just when there's adversity.
You make love all the time, using that in a broad term. And by making love all the time, when there is a reversal, they face it together. You and I, you and the Lord and I, so you just face it together. You make love every day with the Lord. That's what it's talking about when you take in the Word. So when this arrow of diversity hits in the time of celebration, that's a time for a party. And that's the concept we have here. They'll be tried by fire. They'll be tried with fire. And suffering takes place in an increment of time.